Recording in progress.
All right, everyone, I'd like to call this evening study session of the Champaign County Mental Health Board to order Wednesday, January 29th, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookins Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call, please?
Chris Miner, Tony Nichols, Joe Omosage, yeah. Elaine Palencia, Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandle. John Paul Joachim. Molly McClay.
Here.
We do not have a quorum, so we'll just do all the things. Okay.
Yes, so we won't formally approve the agenda. We do have members that are joining virtually, but because we don't have a quorum, we cannot formally admit them into the meeting. However, it's good that we have board members online to hear the presentations that we have this evening that I think are very important. So we do have time, though, for public participation or agency input. So as always, all are welcome to attend the board's meeting to observe and or offer thoughts during this time. And you may do so by coming to the podium or raising your hand in the Zoom. We also now are starting a sign-up sheet for public participation in case people feel more comfortable being called upon. I may limit public participation to 5 minutes per person or 20 minutes total. So is there anyone who would like to approach the board to share comments? Anyone online? All right, seeing none, we will move on to chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, the president of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, and I'd like to welcome you all this evening to our study session. We are fortunate to be able to hear from two agencies with long histories in our community, one that has been funded by us for a long time, and one that is newly funded by our board. Promise Healthcare and the Greater Community AIDS Project both work with individuals and families that may have been turned away from care in other spaces, in part due to stigma and stereotyping. And I just want to say that now more than ever before, it is imperative that we embrace every single member of our community and let you all know that we have your back. Your mental health and your well-being matters to us, and we remain steadfast in our support of every single program we fund and the mental health of our entire community. You're valued here, and we will not abandon anyone. Those are my comments. So now we will move on to a special treat for the evening. Our Associate Director, Leon Bryson, will be giving the staff comments.
Thank you. They gave me the microphone, so now I'm going to say some things that could land me in a hot seat. What a week it's been, and it's just Wednesday. And I struggled with what to say because it this past week it's felt like a bomb has dropped on America, United States, right? And specifically the federal government freezing funds to many of our agencies. As staff, we were inundated with emails from our agencies worried about what was going to happen next. Some were extremely worried about delays in services and layoffs and, you know, what does this mean? There were more question marks than answers. And so we're still there. We're still there with unanswered questions. And the blessing is tonight you'll hear two amazing presentations from one from Greater Community AIDS Project, also known as GCAP. And the other one is from Promise Healthcare. I want to personally thank each of the agencies for getting your presentations to us early and enough time for us to be able to get those presentations in the board packet for board members to review. And so that means a lot. It may seem simple and trivial, but it means a lot for us as staff to get everything in order so that the board as well as the public have this important information. So again, thank you. Without further ado, I don't want to go on, but without further ado, I'd like to bring up Daria Shagabi and Meg McDonald to the microphone to share their information, their wisdom and knowledge about what's going on with GCAP. And then after that, we'll hear a presentation from Promise Healthcare from Jim Hamilton and Lisa Killowee. So take it away.
Oh, can you turn on the microphone?
Is it on? Yep. Okay. Thank you for the introduction. As you said, my name is Daria. I'm the executive director at the Greater Community AIDS Project. We are a newly funded organization, but we've been in the community since 1985. We were formed by folks who saw their friends dying from AIDS and wanted to do something about it. And we have existed ever since. I specifically applied for a grant with the Champaign County Mental Health Board because I saw that our clients needed more than just housing. They have the opportunity to receive case management from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health Department, but these case managers only meet with our clients once every 6 months. And given the unique needs of our clients, we thought that that's just not enough. High-intensity case management is needed. So that birthed this this grant, and I'm really happy that it's funded because we're seeing huge improvements in our clients. I'm sorry. I have a post-infectious cough, but I'm not currently contagious. And it's been doing wonders. I'm really excited to present this mid-year report, too, because I was able to get all of our clients' reports and their mid-year assessments in, and their goals are they're exceeding their goals, what the goals that they set for themselves at the beginning of their assessments or the beginning of the year. We do goal attainment scaling, and clients are saying that they are exceeding their goals. Where they thought that they would be, they're exceeding that, which is really exciting to hear.
But would you like me to put the slides on the screen?
If are you able to do that?
Yes, and then you just have to tell me when to move them forward.
Oh, sure. If you want to. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're very beautiful, colorful slides, so we'd love to see them.
Yes. And just going back to a little bit about who we are and what we do. So we offer more than just case management. We offer housing assistance, nutritional and emergency financial assistance, case management, and education outreach. The bulk of what we do is housing assistance, and it comes in the form of our Champaign House. And this is what was established in the early 90s. It was actually physically built by advocates in the community. One of them is still on our board. She is 85 years old, and she is a liability. I love her to pieces, but we have to remind her to please not do physical labor herself. But we have a very dedicated board, and I am always thankful for them. And if you want to go to, I think the third slide is where I'm at. One more. Yeah, so this is our transitional house. These are what the bedrooms look like. People stay here for anywhere between 2 months to 24 months. 24 months is the limit. And while they're here, they have access to in-house case management. They have access to our food pantry. And they have access also to transportation services, really anything that they need to be able to transition out of the house and also find supports in the community. Sometimes our transitional house is full. Right now, it is full. We have been at capacity for I think the past 2 years. We have seen a huge increase of people needing housing and are looking to expand. It's hard right now to expand services because not a lot of places are wanting to lease to nonprofits who are doing this kind of work. But in the interim, we are doing motel assistance. Our motel assistance program also offers case management because when people are in motel services, it's very, very temporary. And our case manager, Meg, works with them to see what their immediate needs are, connect them with case management, make sure that they're on medication, which is huge for people living with HIV, connect them to PCP, infectious disease doctors, and related. Thanks. And so more about our nutritional assistance program. We have a small food pantry that's for our clients in the house. We also do what's called a charitable Walmart food voucher. So these are restricted vouchers that can be used at Walmart to purchase food or clothing, depending on what our clients need. This is one of our biggest requests right now is for food. A lot of people just had their SNAP cut. Even though their SSI and SSDI didn't go up, their SNAP was still cut. Which is sad, but so the food vouchers help them to get food that they might not be able to get at the pantry, things like Ensure, things that are low sodium, things that they need to be able to stay healthy and well. We also offer bus passes, IDs. We help pay for medication. We have seen an increase in perinatal HIV clients, so people who are pregnant or recently were pregnant, so they can get diapers or formula. Some people don't choose to breastfeed. It's actually very, very new guidance from the American Academy of Pediatrics that you can breastfeed. It used to be considered something that you absolutely cannot do, but new guidance says that you can if you're undetectable. But we let people, you know, do what they want to do, choose, and we will provide formula if it's requested. So the bulk of what we do, as funded by CCMHB, is case management. We have hired a part-time case manager who actually just went full-time thanks to finding other funding sources. Our HOPWA grant has been able to fill in the gap there, which has been huge because it's needed. We need a full-time case manager, and I'm glad that we were able to find alternative funding sources for that. Meg is trained in motivational interviewing and HIV navigation, so she's able to give people their diagnosis if they are newly diagnosed. And she uses motivational interviewing skills to help people establish goals, maintain goals, and also identify their strengths and pull from those if they're struggling. Meg and our client service representative, who's on our board, work together to do group outings. And the group outings seem like auxiliary services, but they're really, really important for our clients to be able to identify and build supports in the community. We've noticed that one thing that is really important is just having supports. If we look at our clients and their average length of stay in the house, clients who have external supports, like friends and family in the community, typically only stay with us for 2 to 4 months, and clients who do not have support stay with us from 18 to 24 months. So it's a huge difference. And so taking clients on these outings, seeing what they're interested in, and helping them find an external supportive community is something that our case manager works for them to do. These are some of our outings. I think that one of the favorite ones was actually Cranford Art Museum. Yeah. They had a, what was it called?
It was a lesbian LGBTQ art show.
Something Lesbian Dreams art show. And Cranford is free and accessible. And so we look for places that are accessible, that clients can go on their own, that they don't need to pay for, or are very low cost. So they can go there without us eventually, and we just want to help them find things that they're interested in doing, because it's not just housing, finding external motivating factors so that you can get back to health, find community, and eventually transition out of our house. We also do education and outreach, so we do things like Pride Fest. We are next Tuesday, Monday, the Monday. Third Monday, doing an event for Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Thank you. Where we're collaborating with Uniting Pride, and we'll be having speakers talk about their personal, professional, lived experience living with HIV or advocating for HIV. It'll be a cool event. It'll be at the University of YMCA, so please come if you can. And this is a little bit about our impact. So when I wrote the grant, I did not think that we would have 14 clients mid-year. I thought we would have 10 clients overall for the entire year. This has been something that I am really sad about and also really glad that we're able to provide the support. But this is an unprecedented number. This year, we have seen a huge increase in support and needs for support in the community, and it's why Meg is also full-time now. And it is, we don't have the means in the community to meet this need, and it's one of our goals is to expand so that we're able to meet this ever-increasing need so that people can have long-term housing, permanent housing, and also have the supports in place so they don't have to come back to the house if there are people who are coming back. But this is a number that I did not think I would be reporting. For our non-treatment plan clients, These are clients that use our emergency financial assistance program but are not don't have a plan, a treatment plan. We had 54 individuals. Again, this was an incredibly high number. There are a lot of people who need help right now. And I sincerely hope we would be hugely affected by the federal pause. It affects our HOPA grant. So when I saw that it was rescinded, I was incredibly grateful, but also knew that this was just the beginning. And I hope that, you know, we can all work together when this happens again. Service contacts, you know, 26 people have reached out for help to become treatment plan clients. And there are different reasons why we're not able to assist. Sometimes because we're close to a school, we can't take anybody who is a sex offender or on the sex offender registry, which is unfortunate because sometimes people have sex offender registry status for outdated laws that have to do with HIV criminalization. And in those instances, we offer motel support because people still deserve the right to housing, and it should not be a barrier to housing, but it unfortunately is, especially when they come from other states. That's a big one. Other things just have to do with people maybe not wanting to participate in case management, which is a requirement, or things like that. We've had 10 community service events, and we'll have more as the year goes on. We have a long and ever-growing list of partnerships. We have been in the community for so long that I think that this doesn't even fully encompass all of our partners. These are the ones that we have directly worked with this fiscal year, and we just recently started working again with the University of Illinois Extension to offer a cooking class to our clients, and our clients always like that one. Our staff likes that one, too, because we participate and we make yummy food. But yeah, these are our partnerships and I'm glad to keep them. And these are our highlights. Some of our highlights are also really hard. One of our highlights is helping somebody through their end of life, and we wanted him to get permanent housing. We wanted to see him successfully leave the program, and unfortunately, sometimes AIDS becomes cancer, and what we have to do, what we can do, is to just support him through that process. And it was really hard for all staff and the board members, but it also showed how connected everybody in the house is and how vital GCAP is for people, because we were all he had. And I think that's a huge highlight, is to be able to provide that compassionate end-of-life care. And that's a lot of work, too, just the financial aspects, going through all of it, making sure you have all of the paperwork there and contacting power of attorneys. And we did it as a team, and we learned from it. And it was a huge reminder that AIDS and HIV is still affecting all of us. This person was only in their 40s. We also received positive feedback from clients. They had nothing but great things to say. They also spoke about losing a friend to HIV and how it brought them closer together, helped them learn more about each other. We also brought back the holiday gala, and we raised over $9,000 to directly support our emergency financial assistance program. And we secured a $10,000 grant from United Way, again, to help our emergency financial assistance program. Oh, you're fine. And these are our funding sources. Thankfully, we have diversified our funding sources so that we are not only federally funded. We are also funded through CCMHB and United Way and small grants like Broadway CARES grant. Incredibly thankful for that. We also have various donor advised funds from people who have written us into their retirement plans and things like that. These are different various funding sources, and right now more than ever, it is incredibly crucial to not just rely on federal funds. And I spoke a little bit about this earlier, but our biggest goal is to meet the need. We have a huge increase in requests for financial assistance, requests for housing assistance, requests for transportation and things like that as well. So to be able to just meet the need in Champaign County, meet the need in our area, whether that look like expanding our house, expanding motel services, applying for more grants, we can't meet the need right now with the funding that we have. And so we are wanting to increase our funding sources and create program sustainability. Anything?
All right, thank you so much. Any comments or questions from board members and or staff also?
Elaine Palencia, were you trying to jump in and speak to us?
Hi, I wish that's a lovely presentation. Thank you so much. I'm home with a broken wrist, and I can't drive yet. I could just say that I have a friend who's a nurse who worked with AIDS patients in this community, and she made me understand how widespread the need is for support for these folks. So I just want to commend you for your work, and I'm glad we're funding you.
Thank you.
This is more of a statement also. I'm so glad that we're funding you. I've tangentially worked with the GCAP over the last almost 40 years. And I was surprised that this was the first time you guys had asked for funding. It's when I facilitated Operation Snowball, we would have presenters from GCAP almost at least once a year, just coming to talk about it and also dehumanize the process of what was going on, because in the 90s, it was, you're going to die next week or something like that. And in the process, we did end up with a couple of young people who were HIV positive in the 90s, and they're still here. I still talk to a couple of them, and I am glad that you're here. And keep, yeah, so thank you.
I'll echo everything that has been said so far. I was really glad to see you all apply and glad that we chose to fund. I think just hearing about all the different aspects of your programming and how things have expanded, knowing that, you know, the reasons why you are wanting to expand is unfortunate, but also very grateful for you all to be providing these services, especially hearing about how the community and the staff and everyone came together, and that individual's end-of-life journey was really impactful. I was also glad to see the, you know, diverse funding sources that you have, hoping very much that we don't lose federal options, but knowing that that may happen. On a more personal note, I'm a big Broadway fan, and I've been following, watching a lot of the stuff that Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS has been doing for a long time, and like seeing that on this list of funds like made my heart sore. So I'm really glad to see all of these, you know, sources coming together to support this important programming. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. As a silly side note, Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS has it in their contract that we have to put their pictures up in our office, and they are burlesque photos, and so they get hung up in the staff bathroom.
That's amazing. And I can definitely recommend some quality videos that I know they do, like, several fundraisers.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen some of the things, like clips from, you know, after their shows, auctions and fundraiser nights, really fun stuff that they're doing. So just like a cool added resource. Does anyone else have comments, board members that either are online or in person, or any staff comments?
Sure. Is it all right if I don't have a question. I guess I just wanted to give a little shout out to our opioid settlement funds that we have coming in, and in particular this organization. If you have any harm reduction needs, I know you've talked about housing, anything related to that. Our requirements for reporting are really are few, and to apply, all you would need to do is like send a proposal, drop an email. But again, we'll see those funds rolling in for the next 10 years, and we're really looking forward to getting those to a diverse group of people. So if you're interested in that, feel free to email, or you can just Google Champaign County Opioid Settlement Funds. We're a committee. Not to give you more work, but.
No, I mean, more funding is always great. Thank you.
There's a staff comment, but maybe she'll say it. If not, I'll read it. Kim, do you want me to just read?
Oh, I was trying not to say anything. That's why I typed it. But I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful presentation. I really learned a lot about GCAP and the services you offer. So very appreciated.
All right. Any last comment?
Oh. I have a question. Meg, you're the case manager, and so you're on the ground, and you're you know, doing the hard work. You see things, and what, you know, in this line of heavy work, what keeps you grounded? Where do you get your inspiration, your support from?
I get a lot of support from Daria and from the board. I've never actually worked this closely with people living with HIV and AIDS, so seeing some of the things, like with our client and their end-of-life care, it was stressful and hard, but I think having each other, and then also, yeah, having my own ways to... Actually, one of our board members just said the other day that if I'm, like, having stress... I mean, it's easier said than done, but if we could somehow put it on a shelf and then, like, pick it back up when it's time, and then... while it's on the shelf, fill our time with things that make us feel better or de-stress ourselves. Or I'm just really motivated to do this work. So I'm just really grateful for you all for funding it. And it has been hard with the federal freeze and then unfreeze and then losing our client. And just seeing the hardships that our current clients go through. But they're all really motivated and they're a really good group. And I'm lucky to get to know them. So. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a different answer for you next time, but I'm still learning.
No, that was a great answer. Yeah. Thank you.
That's very important to do, taking care of yourself so that you can still keep doing this.
Yeah, I think in a lot of my trainings with the Illinois Department of Public Health, like for the motivational interviewing, for the medication adherence, like that was a big point that they always drove home, that you need to have ways to take care of yourself or be able to talk about the job, whether it's with your coworker or a therapist or friends or whatever. You need to be able to process what you're going through. I'm just really lucky to have Daria on the board and you all to fund us to keep going. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Any last comments or questions? All right, seeing none, thank you so much. And Leon, I will pass it back to you to introduce our next presentation.
All righty. So up next, we have Mr. Jim Hamilton and Ms. Lisa Killowee, and they're going to give us great information about the great work that they're doing with Promise Healthcare. So take it away.
Alrighty.
It's mostly Jim, so we're fortunate he's back.
Everybody can hear me? All right. So, So if you put it up there, then people at home can see it and things like that. Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Hamilton. I'm Senior Director for Behavioral Health for Promise Healthcare, and I'm here with Lisa.
I'm Vice President of Strategy and Development and our Clinical Integration.
So who can come to Promise Healthcare? Anybody, and I think that's the way we wanted to kind of start things off, is to talk about we accept all patients regardless of ability to pay. Somebody knocks on our door and says, hey, I need services. We're going to try and provide those services for them. We accept Medicaid and Medicare and most commercial insurance plan. We also offer a sliding fee scale for people that are qualifying incomes of 200% of the household federal poverty levels and below. The next slide. So, we have four different locations. We have Promise Healthcare at Francis Nelson, Promise Healthcare at Neal Street, Promise Healthcare at Urbana, Promise Healthcare at Rantoul. Still, a great deal of our work that we do comes out of the Francis Nelson Clinic that a lot of people kind of associate with us, is that for years we were known as Francis Nelson. Promise came in maybe about 5 years ago. At Francis Nelson, we have primary care, dental care, SUD services, counseling for ages 5 and up, and psychiatry for ages 5 and up. At Neal Street, we have counseling ages 5 and up and psychiatry ages 5 and up. For Urbana, we have primary care for people under the age of 18 there. And then we have counseling and psychiatry, that would be 5 and up. And then SUD, we're working on right now developing some substance use disorder programs, which if you talk to a counselor or a therapist and are working with somebody, it's about 10 out of 10 times that they're going to have substance abuse issues too. Maybe not 100%, but there's usually some type of substance use in there. And so getting some kind of focused care for substance abuse is something that we're trying to do. And then Rantoul, we have psychiatry for ages 5 and up. We have primary services there, and we have counseling 5 and up. Champaign County Mental Health Board supported projects. One of them is closing the gaps in access to care. We want to provide mental health. And one of the things that we talk about is wellness. So kind of we look at our psychiatry, our counseling, and our case management as our wellness group. We're focused on helping people be well. We offer counseling and psychiatry services. Every patient, medical, and counseling and psychiatry are screened with the PHQ-2 and the PHQ-9, and we're working with our dental providers. We should have them, I would say within the next 3 months, they should be doing the screenings as well, so that we have a fully integrated program. Where behavioral health, primary care, and dental are all integrated. We serve about 1,000 treatment plan and NTPC clients. So if we think about it, it's maybe a little bit more. I wasn't available when we did the numbers. I was kind of on leave and had some other things going on. For the year, serving treatment plan and non-treatment plan patients, probably just a little higher than that. Probably about 600 or 700 patients see psychiatrists, and maybe another 300 to 400 see counseling. So just a little bit more than that. We increase awareness of our mental health issues through education and outreach. We have a case manager and we have a community health worker that works in our program. And they go out into the community and they do outreach. You know, I think maybe they were at one of the group that was with us before. I think they went to one of their events and was providing outreach to them. We try to do 30 of those a year. So that comes down to about, 7 or 8 each quarter. It says provide a minimum of 29 encounters to low-income patients for counseling and 3,200 for psychiatry. That would be just for quarter one. That's where we just had the data that we're able to report on us for August or July through September. We assist 1,600-plus patients through enabling services. We maintain a robust referral system and accept at least 1,000 referrals from partner agencies. And actually, we're kind of going over that. One of the things is it's hard to pick targets. You start new targets and you try to pick what you think is going to work. But you don't want to pick too high because you don't want to go over. So that you try to pick the right number. Then you find, hey, we're doing more than we did. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is work on getting our targets and our numbers where they need to be. But we had the last quarter, I looked at October, November, and December. We had 671 referrals from outside agencies from 20 different agencies within the community. So, and I think we get in about 80% of those patients. We're able to provide some kind of services to them, whether that's psychiatry, counseling, or case management. We screen a minimum of 150 patients in need of psychiatry and counseling services. That's case management work. We have case management do screenings on people that have comorbid, coexisting conditions going on, and they screen them to make sure that if they have medical needs, dental needs, if they have other health needs besides behavioral health, that we're getting them plugged into that. So mid-year data for the wellness project, the targets community service events, we had 23 in quarter one. Screening service contacts, our target is 1,600 for the year. We had 612 in the first quarter. Non-treatment plan clients, we targeted a total of 400, where we had 439. So we're going to basically quadruple that. And I think that's because we didn't think there'd be people that would come and see us for only one appointment and not continue with us. But we get people that just need medications, right? But they don't come back. People that need a behavioral health shot, an injection, they get those. They want to work with our case managers. They see them and they get connected into housing or get their utility bill paid or whatever kind of need they need met, and then they kind of move on. So our NTPC patients were higher than we anticipated. Treatment plan clients for wellness, we anticipate that they'll have 200 treatment plan clients over the year, and they had 87 in quarter one. Other untargeted, unduplicated self-pay patients. So these are patients that have no other funding source. We looked at the year before, we looked at their numbers, and we thought 100 would be a good number. In quarter one, they've seen 208 people that don't have other funding sources. So mid-year data, mental health services. This includes both counseling and psychiatry. We have our counselors go out, and I think we started this year, and we had a number of spots on, like, WCIA, their community living program that they have, and we did some information through that. So we had 5 for counseling, and we had 1 for psychiatry. We anticipate having 2,800 screening contacts for counseling, and we had 850 in quarter one. We may not meet that number because quarter one brings everybody from the previous year into it, and quarters two, three, and four tend to be a little bit lower in their numbers. For psychiatry, we had a target of 3,200 screening contacts, and we had 2,500 in quarter one. Non-treatment plan clients, again, the same things happened here. For counseling, we had a target of 400. Quarter one, we had 393. Treatment plan clients, I think we're right on target. We had a target of 600, and we had quarter one, we had 209. For psychiatry, non-treatment plan clients, we targeted 900, and we had 1,340 in quarter one. Treatment plan clients, we had 1,000. And we had 678 in quarter one. So I think we can take a look at this and increase those numbers somewhat. Just to meet our navigators and case managers, the next slide is Billy Joe Blanton and Michaela Unzicker. Billy Joe is our case manager. She works with the wellness group. And Michaela is our community health worker. So pretty much 99.9% of people that get behavioral health services at Promise Healthcare go through our wellness program. So certainly anybody from the community that's looking to refer to us, all that gets funneled through the wellness group. They bring people in and they do initial assessments with them. They do PHQ-9, G87, the DAS. I can't remember what we're using for alcohol. And we do social determinants of health assessments on all these people. And so we try to determine, do you need psychiatry? Do you need counseling? Do you need case management? But also, do you need medical? Do you need dental, right? So many low-income people that come to us, they have issues with what's going on dental. And so getting them into those services is important, too. And our wellness group, Billy Joe and Michaela, have a large portion, have a large part in what we do there. So external referrals from counseling and psychiatry. So if you look at the first one, 467, that's like if somebody contacts us through our website or they call in, they're individually, they want to make an appointment. So it's somebody that hasn't had any services with us, but they're just looking. So that's a large portion of our referrals. But we also get like OSF gave us 82 referrals. Pavilion gave us 41. We had 18 from Rosecrans. Yeah, I've looked at some recent numbers on this. There should be something in here from Rantoul and Urbana Schools. Urbana Schools had 8 on here. I think Rantoul in the last quarter, they had like 4, 5 referrals. We even get referrals from places like Riverside and Kankakee, Gateway Regional Medicine, which is in Springfield. Lincoln Prairie, which is in Springfield. I know we also get referrals from Bloomington, Peoria, for all our behavioral health people. And so we have a very, I think, robust and well-oiled referral process. I think that's something that we've really focused on making sure that we do well, is that people know us and they know how to get a hold of us and they know how to get services. The next is referrals. There's our referral sheet. This is it's a fillable form that we give to associated agencies, Urbana School staff, Rantoul School staff, but also places like Champaign-Urbana Public Health, the staff that work at OSF, the staff that work at Pavilion. They all have this referral form, and we've like with Rantoul, we've gone to all the feeder schools that feed into their junior high, like Ludlow, Gifford, whatever kind of small area out there, we've reached out to them to try and make sure that they know where we're at and that they can get services from us. Yeah, I'm not sure what the street outreach movement is, but that's our appointment for that's our main entrance for Rantoul. So highlights and accomplishments, the future. What are we going to do? Development of workflows for internal and external work referral flows. Work will continue. We also do internal referrals and we track those as well. So that if there's a primary care provider wants their patient to see a psychiatrist, there's a way of referring that through our electronic health record. Also, the mapping's in place that dental will be able to do that same kind of internal referral for us. Increased focus on case management and community health workers. Champaign County Mental Health Boards fund some of these positions. The wellness group, pretty much all funded by Champaign County Mental Health Board. And they don't generate any revenue. At some point, the state's talking about community health workers being able to bill, but I think they said the earliest that'll be is 2026. And we have case managers, but we're not able to get any revenue from the work that they do. We're also looking to hire a case manager or two. We want case manager to work in Rantoul and our Urbana clinics, and then we want a case manager to work with our substance use disorder patients as well. We have a new website, digital marketing strategy. It's not funded by Champaign County Mental Health Board. We're supported by HRSA, and we have an expansion grant that was received to expand behavioral health services and add substance use disorder. This expansion grant, basically, we have to expand hours. And so we're looking to, like, Francis Nelson may be open from 7:30 in the morning till 7 at night. And so that we'll have some off, kind of regular, normal office hours. We'll have some off hours that will allow people that maybe have trouble with babysitting, work, whatever they got going on in the day, that there'll be some access for them. Outreach, education, and partnerships. We're always looking to partner with whoever that we're working with. And so we've really tried to make sure that we have education and partnerships. We work very closely with the U of I School of Social Work. They have BSW interns, MSW interns. They also have they've worked with some of our finance and budgeting people as well. Behavioral health, SUD services integrated into primary care. So we want to take the SUD services to substance use disorder, and we want to integrate that into to primary care so that we have the kind of medical provider that, that would provide addictions medicine. We can also work with other providers and help them prescribe things that SUD people would need. I can't think of Naxalone or whatever, but the different kind of
MAT.
Yeah, the medically assisted treatment, right? But what we want them to do is for their primary care provider to be able to prescribe that rather than having to go see a psychiatric provider or somebody like that. That creates greater access, and you know, that's something we think is important. Additional sites and services and meets needs of our unhomed residents. I know speaking with Billy Joe, our case manager, this was before I went on leave, but like January to June, she was able to get six people housed through the township through Champaign Township, but able to work with that. We continue to develop and look for people that want to provide psychiatric services that are nurse practitioners. We brought on a clinical supervisor that one of their focus is going to be on training our counseling staff. We have a very young staff, students that just graduated in December 2023, so they're just kind of in their first year of work. We wanted to get them involved with trauma-informed care, LGBTQ plus care, community violence. All these things kind of put a focus on the patient in working at trying to create a safe environment where people can come and feel that that they can be themselves, right? So, and we want to kind of do develop people within the agency as far as career paths. So the next page is partnerships and collaboration.
We just listed a lot of our partners.
Yeah, you can see that there's, you know, a lot of United Way, Carl, OSF, Christie, different departments at the U of I, See You at Home, Stride Shelter, Salt and Lake, Birth to Five, Cunningham Township, the Children's Advocacy Center, WCIA, Cunningham's Children's Home, all agencies that we work with. You know, Lisa did this presentation several months ago, right? And one of the challenges that we noticed in here is concerns about federal grant funding, right?
No bigger concern,
So I think taking a look at that, you know, we are concerned about federal grant funding and in the particular political climate that we live in, you know, is the federal government going to continue to fund agencies like ours robustly? Medicaid redetermination. Two or three years ago, whenever it happened, we lost a lot of migrant, Hispanic people that fell off of Medicaid, Medicaid eligibility for immigrants. You know, kind of getting those people serviced, staffing. We've had some tremendous applicants for counseling positions and case management positions that we have. And for 2 to 3 years, it's really been a struggle. And I think recently, I don't know if somebody went out of business or somebody, you know, their private practice isn't working, but we've had quite a few good applicants here recently. But staffing, it seems like we're always hiring, right? Somebody's here 2 or 3 years and then they move or they want to go do something else. And so we're kind of constantly looking for talent, for people that are, that can relate to the kind of patients that we have, that can relate to the kind of diversity, the cultural diversity that we have. So we have, you know, trying to compete with Carl, OSF, private counseling agencies. It's really difficult for us. One of the things that we do is really push that we have loan repayment opportunities for the through the National Health Service Corporation, which is connected to HRSA. And I think $50,000 a year?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's always, though, so we hope those programs are preserved by the government.
Maybe $35,000, but then if you speak Spanish and if you work with substance abuse, you get more bonus to that. So, and I think you can do it for 2 years. So there's maybe $60,000, $75,000 that you can get completely forgiven off your loan, and you can apply for a third year. And so, you know, it's a pretty good program that they have. So, so people involved in the development of this presentation we had, Ray Bement, our Assistant Director of Behavioral Health, Lisa, Keith Flores, our CFO, and Amanda Ferguson, who is our Informatics and Data Systems Manager. Yep. That's everything that I had. Do you have questions for me? For us, for myself, Lisa?
I definitely want to open up to any questions from the board or staff, as well as comments.
Yes, I have a comment and a question. A while ago, I was approached by an acquaintance who said, "You're on the mental health board, so I'm asking for a friend," which I took to mean he was asking for himself. And he was somebody who was able to pay easily for services, but he had not been able to find mental health services for the friend because the waiting lists were so long in town. So I recommended Promise to him, and I don't know if he followed up. It was a, you know, it was an uncomfortable conversation, but in your presentation, and I appreciate the numbers and the granular quality of the detail. You said you had 467 personal inquiries. I guess that's just people who are not referred.
Correct.
And yeah. I would like to know, were you the right person for me to, or the right organization for me to send him to? I think I did also mention Rosecrans. And then, I don't mean to be rude, but is there a prioritization by income for services there? Because this was a man who I was astounded that he couldn't find services. You know, he was very well able to pay for anything.
So things have changed a little bit. We've had a counselor go their own different direction. This past fall, we've also had a nurse practitioner has gone in a different direction, and we've had one of our psychiatrists retire at the end of December. So we're running around 120 to 130 as far as a wait list for counseling. But I anticipate that we're going to be able to address that very quickly. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to have somebody in place that's going to be able to take on some of that. And then I hope that probably within the next month or two, we'll have probably two more counselors come on board. So we'll be able to take care of that that wait list pretty quickly.
Psychiatry has pretty open access.
Right. What I was just going to say is for psychiatry, you can get in to see them. And generally, you can get scheduled within 2 weeks. So, yes.
Okay.
Sending him to us is the right thing to do.
Okay. Thank you.
And we don't, we are the only provider for self-pay for the most part. I mean, there are some other services that also provide services, but I think we're the largest provider of self-pay. So, but we don't prioritize, by insurance or lack thereof.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, in some ways we like patients that are on Medicaid or Medicare, because we're a federally qualified healthcare center, so we get an enhanced rate. So we get that enhanced rate. It's not like we're making a whole lot of money and getting rich doing it, but it is an enhanced rate that helps us. And so that's something to be. I've been here 14 years, and this is the second time that we've had a wait list for counseling. in mm-hmm. those 14 years. So I anticipate that we'll get that taken care of very quickly. And typically, mm-hmm. we're able to get people within a week to psychiatry and within counseling, generally 2 to 3 weeks, get them in to see a counselor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that was better than what he had been offered other places, so thank you.
I had a related question and a comment. So I know there earlier you mentioned that there were like sort of the NTPC contacts, that there are a lot of individuals who maybe come in for like one encounter and then don't continue on. And I know there are a variety of reasons why a person might not come back after the first time with counseling or psychiatry. But I know sometimes it's about fit with the provider, too, and I wondered if there were any efforts going on to try to increase the number of those clients who then go on to continue with services.
We do. We do and try to encourage them. I think part of that group of patients is come to their appointments because somebody else told them to, their spouse, the judge, the DCFS worker, whoever that might be. And so they hit that one appointment, then they go back and they tell their probation, hey, they said I don't need to do anything. And so I think we have a group of people like that. We really do encourage people to take part of our services, right? And so we'll do things like if there's a counselor that's available, kind of do a warm handoff that they can sit and meet with the counselor or psychiatrist if they're available. So we do try to capture some of that.
But what our wellness project, too, is focused on enabling services. So sometimes a lot of people just need one thing. You know, they might need help with Medicaid enrollment, right. You know, and that's it.
Yeah, that I think, you know, a lot of times people, you know, if they only come once, they may, you know, be getting what they need in that one time, and it may, you know, encourage them to try more later. I was also thinking, like, in terms of, you mentioned the new supervisor and working with the newer staff, if there might be any, like, just training on like rapport building. I know sometimes when I was starting out as a therapist, I, you know, was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And, you know, I know that that's part of that process too. So I think, you know, hearing that there's someone who's going to be working with newer therapists, is really helpful to know. I also just wanted to comment. I don't personally know Billy Joe, but I have heard of her work in the community for a long time. She used to work with a friend of mine, and I was very glad to see that she was the case manager, because I know she does excellent work. So
right.
Just wanted to give a shout out to her.
Right. Yes. So we're very thankful to have her. She does an awesome job for us.
Thank you very much. Any other board or staff questions or comments?
I have one question, and you may have answered it. I think you mentioned the number of 120 on your wait list, and you know, you talked a little bit about the targets needing to be adjusted.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about, and maybe this is counterintuitive, but can you talk a little bit about referring out?
Right.
So, you know, and I appreciate the list of, you listed all of the partnerships and collaborations. What is it, you know, when do you refer out? Is there someone, is there certain agencies in particular that you refer out to? Things
right.
like that.
So being somebody that has a HRSA grant, there's language within those grant that don't allow us to do referrals, that if we provide the services, we need to find a way to get the patient into those services. So what happens is if Leon has an appointment next Wednesday, but this Friday he calls and cancels that, we have the wellness staff, Billy Joe and Michaela, start calling people on that list to get that slot filled. And so I anticipate that probably in another 2 weeks it'll be down to 50 or 60 people. We'll cut that in half. We really do a lot of work on trying to make sure that we get every slot that's filled, and so that we're utilizing that.
Are you talking about for service levels that we don't provide, like inpatient things? Is that?
You know, sometimes you may not be able to work with a client for various reasons. Your counselors may not feel comfortable working with that particular client, or, again, the wait list, you're overwhelmed with, all the clients that are coming in. I'm looking at your number of referrals, and you got a large number of referrals, so you're getting to work. And I just wonder, do you ever have a moment where you're like, okay, we need to share some of this wealth?
We do. Prior to right now, pretty much anybody that came primarily for substance use, that we would refer them out to different agencies in town. And I think there's three different agencies that were kind of working with the lower income group. So we'd refer those people out. If it's coexisting that they have counseling, mental health and substance use things going on, then our counselors would work with them. But we've referred people that are, somebody that comes in that's recently been assaulted. That's not very appropriate for us to be dealing with that, so we might refer them on to RACES, right? To where they're getting those more specific kind of services. The same that if somebody's in an active domestic violence situation, then we refer to Courage Connection. So there are things that we do refer out to.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
You said naloxone and I was all ears, but I also remember, it's really great to see you in person, Lisa. I feel like I send you lots and lots of kind of high pressure information about other funding that's available. Meanwhile, Promise has grown quite a lot in the last couple of years.
Right.
And so I know you might not have capacity for some of the projects that I run across, and there might not be enough time. It might not be a good fit for the community. But something I didn't share with you recently that I might like to, and when you say naloxone, it reminds me, there's a policy bulletin about health centers and lookalikes being able to provide services to people 90 days prior to release from incarceration. That would be a really amazing partnership.
And they're looking to get them.
Yeah, or coming out of prison and jail. It's this is like a new opportunity through Medicaid, but it's also coming through HRSA. There's a policy notice. I think they were looking for feedback from health centers.
Right.
I held off on sharing that with you, Lisa, because it's not too late. This is pretty recent, but I just thought y'all have done a lot of growth in the directions that really do benefit this board, the people we're concerned about. So I didn't want to okay, if you're ready for MAT, I don't know if our local, if the Champaign County Corrections is ready, but when they are, and we do have a county board member who knows all about that.
So we have three providers that are prescribing MAT medications, and that could be anything from methadone to naloxone, or I can't say these
Benetrol.
Things.
Is it the same? I mix them up. There's three.
Right. So we have providers that are doing that now.
Well, I'm going to send you this policy bulletin. I don't know what's happening next. It's also a kind of a great day to say, who knows,
right,
with federal funding, but why not share it with you? And you know.
And we're excited. Ray Beamont, as I say his name, has joined us, and his experience is really more a lot aligned with addiction services. So he's really helping Jim. We're looking at, since we haven't really had as a primary diagnosis SUD services as much, you know, Jim and he are working together to look at all of our policies and procedures and things that need to be, some, a lot of things maybe need to be tweaked for if we're offering more MAT and really going after, you know, advertising that and things. But eventually we do see the folks who have been incarcerated. You know, a lot of times they have a hard time finding jobs and that kind of thing. So we have a lot of patients that represent that population.
So eventually we do see them.
Yeah.
So it makes good sense to kind of have that relationship before they get released.
Any other comments or questions?
I would like to thank the board so much, and the leadership and all of the staff. I have been with Promise for 3 years. It has been quite the journey. I feel like now things are really going well, and we just really appreciate all the patience everyone has shown us and the understanding and the interest. You guys are so great at coming to our events and things. We really appreciate it.
I guess from the board, I'll speak for myself. I really appreciate all the work that you do for so many people in this community. We are very glad to be able to contribute to the work that you do. So thank you very, very much, and thank you for presenting to us.
So, yeah, just get the word out. I mean, people don't know that we exist. There's still, you know, I think a lot of people do, but there's still people that don't know that we're there and we're available to them. So, you know, a couple years ago, we have a clinic at the Urbana Schools, right? It's right connected to the high school. There was teachers that didn't know there's a clinic there. And so they do like their state survey of all their, do you know there's a medical clinic attached to the high school? No, had no idea. So, yeah, let people know that we're here and that we're available for them.
And every morning it's inspiring at our Neal Street Clinic. There are behavioral health patients waiting to get in. So.
All right. Well, thank you again very, very much for speaking with us this evening. And with that, we will move to more public participation or agency input. So if there's anybody who is online who wants to share anything with us, I don't think there's anybody else in the room with us who hasn't just been speaking. So, you are always welcome to share with the Mental Health Board. So is there anyone who would like to make a comment? All right, seeing none, we will then move to board announcements and input. Any announcements or input from board members? All right, seeing none, we can't really formally adjourn because this isn't technically a meeting, but we'll just go ahead and adjourn. And our next meeting will be Wednesday, February 19th. At 5:45 p.m. right here in the Shields Carter Room. And thank you very much for attending, and have a good evening. Record.